Our scripture lesson today is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. We read in the 19th chapter, the first 10 verses. Listen for God's word today. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us join together now in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, eternal God, grant now that the words of my mouth and indeed even the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. What an odd text for All Saints Sunday, don't you think? Think of it, if you will. All Saints Day, which is always the 1st of November, is a day of remembrance and giving thanks to God for those saints who have departed from our midst in the last year, or any year for that matter. And so, by definition, it's a somewhat somber day because we are brought face to face with the reality that death is real. It is the day we declare with a simple phrase, the church triumphant, that those whom we love who have died have triumphed over death in Jesus Christ. And yet even that can seem at times jarring as we remember, sometimes very presently, those who have departed from our midst have left us because they have died. And along comes this story of Zacchaeus in the lectionary. It's just an odd text for the day, all things considered. If you're familiar with Zacchaeus at all, you probably remember that he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And that just doesn't really seem to fit the day. Couple that with the fact that we're in the middle of our annual commitment season, and your pastor entitled his sermon with the amount that Zacchaeus volunteered to give, half his possessions, and to return to anyone defrauded four times what he took, and it can begin to appear just a little bit convenient. Except it's not really all that convenient at all. You see, you and I have this tacit agreement. We've never stated it plainly, but I won't stand up here and harangue you about money. I'll just preach the gospel, and you'll respond accordingly. That's the arrangement that we have with one another. But as I considered what Zacchaeus has to say to us on All Saints Sunday, I realized it was really a very, very simple message, just as simple as it could be. Here it is. When confronted with the gospel, Zacchaeus went all in. I think sometimes we live increasingly in a culture that pulls us away from being all in for any endeavor. It's a rare thing, I think, to get so caught up in a moment, in a movement, that the end result of which is to say, "I am all in. I am all in for this. This is for me, and I want to be a part of it." It's rare, I think, but it does happen. I think it happens on the things that matter the most to us, that hit us at our deepest level. Think for a moment about marriage. Whether it is solemnized in a church sanctuary or under a trellis with roses all around, or perhaps in another state because it's legal there, a couple says, "That's it. I'm going all in. There will be no others. There will only now be you and me. We're all in. Of course, marriages sometimes end. Sometimes they need to. But at the moment that the commitment is made, it's an all-in sort of commitment. But there's no changing baptism. Being baptized into a church is being baptized all in. There is no test run for baptism, and it cannot be undone once it has been done. I had a seminary professor, the late Donald Jewell. He was a Lutheran minister, and for many years he kept up a running torment of one of his best friends from high school. Dr. Jewell was a New Testament scholar, and his friend was a prominent attorney and a pronounced atheist. So Don would take singular pleasure, he said, in tormenting his friend with this fact. Your parents had you baptized, Jerry, and there is nothing you can do about it. Don, I don't believe any of that nonsense. I realize you've dedicated your life to it, but I just don't believe it. It doesn't matter. You've been baptized. You're recorded with the saints, Jerry, whether you want to be or not. That's all in, whether you want to be or not. There is no partial baptism. There is a before and an after. That's not to say that I think God sees the world in terms of baptized and not baptized. I don't believe that for a second. But it is to say that there is no liturgy for unbaptizing someone. Once it's done, it's done. It's all in. The resurrection from the dead is all in. For those of us who claim the promises of Jesus Christ in baptism, resurrection from the dead is the completion of that baptism as it comes around full circle. Later on in worship today, we're going to read what is called the necrology report during the great prayer of thanksgiving. What that means is that we're going to say the names of our loved ones who have died in the past year. We are naming them by name, in the sure and certain knowledge that they are known to God. They are known to God who has gone all in the person of Jesus Christ for the redemption of the world. Now, you know, we don't really want any half measure when it comes to redemption, do we? When it comes to that doctrine of the resurrection of the body, we are stating a belief, a hard and fast belief, that when our days are done, when our life is ended, that we are so precious in God's sight, every single one of us, that God will not let death have the last word ever. God is always all in. That's how God is. That is who God is. God never takes a break from the sustaining work of creation. God never takes a break from the redemption of the world. That is good news. That is the gospel. You see, we don't take comfort on days like All Saints Day from a partial commitment. And God does not give a partial commitment. It's all in. That's the good news of the gospel. God is all in with us. In the incarnation of Jesus Christ, God is all in with us. That's what Zacchaeus knew. And so Zacchaeus knew as well that to be brought into a community of faith, to join the communion of the saints, was not a light thing. It was not a lark. It was not cheap. You see, Zacchaeus was certainly on the outside. He was a tax collector. That wasn't any more popular then than it is now. I don't know if we have any IRS employees here at the church. I don't think we do, but I have a hunch if you work for the IRS, there are certain times of the year when you just don't bring up what you do. I mean, I wouldn't go to Mardi Gras and clericals and go around telling people that I am a Presbyterian minister, and I have a hunch that most folks in the tax industry know when not to tell everything they know. And the crowd apparently agreed with that assessment because they began to grumble. I don't know what they were grumbling about. Some might have said that Zacchaeus' gains were ill-gotten, but they were murmuring. He hasn't paid his dues. He's rich. He's different. Does it really matter
what they were murmuring about. They were just grumbling. And that is the moment when Zacchaeus went all in. He said, "Half my goods I will give away. If anyone has been defrauded by me, I will pay it back four times." Now, we have no idea whether Zacchaeus ever cheated anyone. I wonder sometimes, given what a wide return on investment that he offered, if perhaps he hadn't. But he wanted to be all in. That was the kingdom of God, and he knew he wanted to be a part of it. The good news of the gospel is that God is always in for us, always. I'm not sure that it matters whether we know it or acknowledge it or not, but I do know this. It makes an enormous difference in our lives when we do. I received a book this past week that I read in a single sitting. It was from my friend Barbara McMahon. Some of you may remember her. She sat right over here at my installation. She's a very tall woman. She was in a wheelchair. She battled for 17 years with lymphoma, and this summer her battle ended. The book was entitled How Lucky We Are, and it recounts her life and her battle with chronic illness. And toward the end of the book, she wrote, "Death is simply a part of the continuum of God's loving kingdom. In death as in life, we are always in the hands of God, whose love will not let us go." As I read it, it brought to mind our friends Ruth Lynn and Grace, who also lived with extraordinary courage facing chronic illness and came to the end of their lives this year. And it reminded me that indeed the saving grace in their struggle with illness was ultimately the knowledge that God was with them all of the time, every moment. God was with them. How do we sustain that knowledge? We sustain it at this table. We are sustained by God as we remember that when we come to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are joining in song, we are joining in sanctus with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of God's name. And we are sustained as they are sustained in the loving hands of God who will not let us go, the God who is all in, all the time, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.